Tony Day Terry Majda Hey Ada Tosh Behe Rip Yossi Mo.
Right, good morning everyone. Good morning. As you'll see, there is a mikveh campaign in town. That's amazing. When the campaign started, I was discussing with Rabbi Moshe Westheim, to Plony the Vrocha. The campaign started a couple of years before he was Nifta, just over a year before COVID. And we were discussing the musig of campaigns, the idea of campaigns, where there's a lot more pressure, the campaigns, people nudging, pushing, wherever you go. And he showed me, very interesting, a Targum Yonis and Benazil, this week's parasha. It's a fascinating case. You've got the Shivas Yimei Miluim, when Aaron HaKohen started serving the Beis HaMikdash, he had to bring as well a korban to Elim. He had to also bring a korban chatos. Rashi says, what's a korban chatos got to do with it? You just started, why bring a chatos? Rashi says, you bring a chatos because just in case someone donated something to the Mishkan Begezel, all the Mefarshim Begezel, people are not holding Begezel. So, the Chasam Sofer Shtem Mefurish, Chasam Sofer Shtem Mefurish in this week's parasha. Just in case they were pushed and they were giving only Machmas Busha, they were giving because they were embarrassed or because of they didn't want to say no, that's called a gezel when it comes to donating to the Beis HaMikdash. It had to be absolute pure. Many Mefarshim explain that there's a level of gezel involved when a person is pushed. So Rav Moshe, he said, he wasn't saying definite. I told Rav Moshe, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that's going to happen, he still went ahead with it, shows that, yeah, you take the money and you bring a korban chatos. There's different ways of looking at it. That's what we're discussing. Whether you're pushing too much. On the other hand, you find mashkinin alat stoker. You find the chazak, the mufurish sifim shochan operation ches yerdeya, that you mashkinin alat stoker. You can actually demand stoker. So I'm not going into the actual ma'isa. I'm just saying this week's parasha, the Targum Yonis from the Zilal states, and chasam sofer shtei mufurish this week's parasha, that you bring a karam chatos because just in case someone gave machmas busha. I don't know if there has to be much busha when it comes to such a campaign. There's a nifedig amaisa that I was exposed to when I joined a few years ago. When the Michas Yisrael 75 years ago, he writes in his tshuvas, in Chelet Beis, that he's so proud of his mikveh. How did he get his money? If you go there, you'll see there's a plaque from Family Bloom. And the story goes that he had a dream, and Michas Yitzchak was collecting money. Well, that's not part of the dream. He was collecting money, and Bloom had a story. He had a dream that he was some inspiration that he should go to the Michas Yitzchak and give him a big donation. He owned a plot of land at the top of Leicester Road, apparently on the right-hand side near the Lubavitch, where the menorah is. Apparently he owned a plot of land there, and he handed over that plot of land to the Michas Yitzchak 75 years ago. Michas Yitzchak then sold that land. Again, you can all correct me. This is what I've heard from numerous people. I can't confirm it from anyone, but this is a story. And Michas Yitzchak sold that land and bought the other land, which is currently now. And you'll see there's a big plaque there saying Family Bloom. If anyone can confirm further, I'll be delighted. It's a story I've heard from not one person, not five people, not I think about 10 people, Be'erach. And it's supposed to be a quite unique story. I'm not expecting anyone to have that dream last night of handing over the property, but it's certainly something when it comes to a mikveh. It's something which it's not a minor mitzvah derabbanon or something. It's yadus. It's the ikre yadus.
When who had the dream?
Bloom, family Bloom. Mr. Bloom had this dream, and this is part of yadus. Shabbos and mikveh is what the Chafetz Chaim used to. He used to write letters about it. You look at the Michtavei Chasam Sofer, Chofetz Chaim. There's Michtovim, Chofetz Chaim, besides for writing all these good sforim. He also wrote Michtovim to various different places. He's always Mechazik, the Ikri Hadas, which is Shabbos, and Mikveh, obviously, as well as other things. But this is something which is obviously a major. So, Lamaisa, what I want to do here is just spend a few minutes, I don't want to spend too long on it, is I want to explain Just briefly, because it's really endless, this mikveh, Hilchas mikveh. I want to explain briefly what is the story, what is unique, what the Michas Yitzchak did something very unique over here. It's very special, stamazo, to have a posek hadoir actually involved in the building of the mikveh. It's actually very unique that. Usually you have people involved in building the mikveh and they're just liaise. In this case, you have the Mechas Yisro, which built it from Mitzchila Vatsoif. Not with the bricks, but he saw it from Mitzchila Vatsoif. And Mechas Yisro is very proud of it in his Truvas. He writes Chilik Beis in Simachav Gimel. He says, Binyam Mefua Ma'oid, in those days, 75 years ago, Amordani, it's modern, and he's very proud of all the 18 things they implemented in his mikveh. What stands out more in this mikveh, more than anything else, which America have copied? The first one to copy was a Breish, Chelkis Yaakov from Switzerland. He says that he liked the mikveh that the Mechas Yisro did, and he copied that as well. The idea goes as well. We all know that a mikveh, to be tohoi, you'd have to have, you can't just turn on the tap, just imagine you can get into this, I'm not expecting you to be in there. Just imagine this is your Boir Tevila, and you fill it up with water from the tap. Obviously it doesn't work. It needs to be rainwater. So if you had rainwater, that's fine. The problem is you can't just rely on rainwater. It gets dirty very quickly. After a few days you need to change it. And therefore, even in Manchester where it rains a lot, almost the biggest in the country, Cardiff is the number one in the UK, but Manchester is also quite high up, and it rains a lot, you still can't rely on rainwater, because let's say today you wanted to change it because it's not going to be good for later. How would you change it? You're going to take the water out and it's not raining. So you can't really rely. You need to rely on tap. If you're having tap water, what are you supposed to do? So here comes along the first halacha called the boir zriya. You get hold of another boir. This is, you can get, doesn't have to be this shape of a plate. You can have another boir. And this, in this boir, you store 40 sa'ar of rain water, and you secure it. It might get a bit dirty after a bit of time, doesn't matter. No, it won't get terribly dirty, it's just whatever. Then you have a tap going into this boir's ria, and then it overflows into your boir mikveh. That is how you're going to achieve your mem sa'ar maim kasher. So you're going to ask her, it's a tap water? No. Tap water is nizra, it's boir zriya called that, but nizra means that it becomes planted in it and it gets changed and it turns into kosher water. So the tap water which goes into the boir zriya actually becomes kosher, you've kashered it, and then it goes into your boir mikveh. That is how you've achieved your mem sa'ar, maim kasherim, and you're fine. That is the boir zriya. This system was a system which they always had in the time of the Chasam Sofer. He writes as a The Nidbi Huda writes like this, that they had it in Preshburg, they had it in all the places they had just a boir zriya and they had a boir mikveh, that's all they had. There is, however, a shittas harivad. Those who are learning mikvahs will hear the rivad left, right, and center. This rivad, he comes along with a chumrah and it's unbelievable. He says, you can't just, this is not unlimited water that you can just continuously kasha. This water has got a limit to, you have to make sure you've always got roiv mayim kasherim, roiv rainwater. Most of the water has to remain rainwater in this boir zriya, right? And therefore, just imagine this was full of ribena, squash, or let's say orange juice. After pouring water into it and letting it overflow, after a few times, you're not left with much orange juice left, it becomes diluted. Says the Ravid, you cannot go unlimited against the Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass it like this. But Shittas Ravid is that it's not unlimited, and you've only got the allowance up to Rav. That's what the Shittas Ravid did. The Shach brings it down. He tells you to try and be Machmir. What did the Shach do? He probably had a Mayon, and obviously you can use a Mayon. That certainly will solve all problems. But the Chasam Sofer says all the Rabbonim knew that there's a Mayon right near Preshburg. And they didn't insist on it. So the Chasam Sofer was very stark that a boir zriya itself is enough, and you don't have to be choshev for shittas harivad. Less man de chashalo than the Nedvi Huda. He brings the Chasam Sofer says. Also the Nedvi Huda I know wasn't so happy with his harivad. He wasn't choshev for it. The Chasam Nish wasn't choshev for it, and therefore the ikar locha was that you don't have to be choshev for the harivad. You've got unlimited amount of times that you can kasha water through this boir zriya, and that's absolutely fine. That's really how we take it. Comes along Tof Reish Samach, a new era in Yerushalayim. All the mikvahs were also just two mikvahs, one boir tefila and one boir zriya. End of. You don't have to be choshesh for the rivet. Tof Reish Samach, the Rabboni Yerushalayim, they got into this rivet and they tried to work things out. And they said, why not also have a boir hashoka? as well as Yeboiz Riyah, we know there's another type of way to kasha a mikvah, is that even if you've got mayim pesulim in this bo mikvah, you've got, let's say, a tap water, you can just connect it for a second to a mikvah right next to it, for just for a minute, and the Shulchan Aruch holds now, you've suddenly created magic by opening the plug and closing it again, you've created magic that all this tap water becomes kosher to do mikvah. So, Shulchan Aruch says it's okay. So, says the Rabboni Yerushalayim, why don't we just do that? Why don't we, to be Yotzei Shitz has arrived, let's just open, make another mikvah, open the hole in between, and with that, you've kashered it to be Yotzei Shitz has arrived. The only problem with that is that the Raivad himself holds, Rabbi Yerucham holds, that in order to get your Bar HaShoka, that has to be constantly open to your Bar HaShoka. It's big machlokes. Do you have to have it open the whole time or not? Shulchan Aruch holds, you don't have to have it open. But the Raivad and the Rabbi Yerucham hold that you do have to have it open. So if you have to have it open, then what's going to be your problem? You're going to have the same problem that you had with your Bar HaShoka. That water's going to mix into, eventually water's going to mix and switch into your Bar HaShoka. And you're going to have the same problem that you had with the Raivad, that you're mixing and part, most of the water with it, of the Bar HaShoka, the kosher water, is going to get mixed into your Bar Tevila, eventually. This is the problem that that the Zikni Yerushalayim still had. Even after coming along with the Bar HaShoka, they said your Bar HaShoka might not help you. Again, you've got Bar Zeria, the potential problem was that you've got here the Raivad to be choshesh for. The Raivad held that you can't just go unlimited. So the Zikni Yerushalayim came along with that, with a way that just make a Bar HaShoka. But the problem is Bar HaShoka, if you want to keep it open the whole time, you also, your Bar HaShoka is going to mix. Mostly you have Mem Sa'a in here. So over a period of time, especially people going in and out of the mikvah, it's obviously going to exchange water, and you're going to be left with most, you're going to lose most of your kosher water of your Bar HaShoka. So what have you gained? Go on.
Wouldn't you have to just do the HaShoka when you travel?
Oh, so the Shulchan Aruch holds, you only need to do HaShoka while you're tevil, and you can close it afterwards. Well, you're right, but they wouldn't. Yeah, the Chasam Sofer already said we cannot leave such a thing unchecked just to take it out when there's a tevila. It has to be, he said, Ra'isi Uvda near Preshburg, Ra'isi Be'enai near Preshburg, there was such a story and it was left closed. Chasam Sofer puts you off, even Friedrich is already, I saw a Shulchan this morning, Chasam Sofer, he puts you off completely letting it, the idea, just to have it, that you open it just during the Tevilah. So it would have to be a system that works, which is almost foolproof. You can't just have, you can't have such a system. If today is good, next Tuesday might not be good. So you have, so basically, the Zikni Yerushalayim didn't get any cleverer. The Chazanish said, I don't know what the whole thing of Bar HaShoka, he completely disagreed with having a Bar HaShoka. You're not going to gain anything. Chazanish writes in the Kutim, you're not going to gain anything, and therefore, just don't bother with Bar HaShoka, just go back to your Bais Riyah. There's many, since then, it's like that was 125 years ago, since then, there's been more development from the Satmar Rebbe, from the Devar Yatziv, Kol Mini, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Kiyadua, came along with his, he had a different patent. He said that just have one Bar Tevila, don't get complicated, just have, split up your Bar Tevila into two. Have the bottom part of your Bar Tevila, 40 sa'ah, then get hold of 40 sa'ah of good water, of rainwater, then get hold of a plank and close off the 40 sa'ah. And then put the tap on and fill up your Bar Mikvah, your Tevila. Then have a little hole which connects the bottom mikvah to your Bar Tevila in a way that you'll have a HaShoka from the bottom to the top. Aye, the question is that it's going to intermingle. So the Baba Sheva came along and said that you have to use a bit of science over here and look at the hot water which is at the top. The hot water doesn't, the heat rises and the hot water is not going to intermingle with the bottom, with the water below the plank. So the Baba Sheva came along and said, just have one mikveh, forget about Bar Zeria, just have one mikveh at the bottom, have a plank, have a little hole, and then turn the tap on, and your top water is not going to mix with the bottom water. And using physics, that hot heat rises, make sure it remains hot, it's not going to mix. And that's what the Baba Sheva, apparently this is quite widespread, I think the one even in town is like that. What's his?
Boy
al gabi boy. That's the nusach of boy al gabi boy. That you've got one boy at the bottom, good mayim kosher, and then another boy on top, which is not my, which is just the tap. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that it won't mix because heat rises, it won't mix. That Kayadua, we know that the Rav Moshe Feinstein, he brings it, and he says that in Gemara state, that Yashbila, with Dovalach, Yashbila, there is mixture. So you can't use physics. Chaznish said, Leinit na Torah le physics. Torah is not given to physics, and you have the Divrei Chaim that says Ketafris is a problem. Various different issues you're going to have with this method.
24/7?
Sorry?
You keep it hot 24/7?
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Do you need to keep it hot? I think according to this, you would have to make sure it remains hot, which can, I guess it could be a problem in a case where it's not hot. Yeah, I guess it could be they've addressed that. To be fair, I haven't addressed that, but I haven't looked into that. I think it's a good point. I haven't looked into that, so it must be addressed. I haven't looked into that. But yeah, it's definitely a good point. Maisa, this, so since then, it's a bit messy. What are you going to do? Comes along the Minchas Yitzchak and says, just take that yisoid of Boyar Gabi Boy, don't use it for the actual Boy Tvila. It's a bit dangerous. Various different issues. Go back to your Bozria, have your Boyar Shoka, but then split up your Boyar Shoka into two. Take your Boyar Shoka and make 140 Tzahar, then take a plank and make a tiny little hole to connect to the top part of the Boyar Shoka. Then connect your top part of your Boyar Shoka to your Boyar Tevila with a fester hole, a permanent full hole of, it's called Shefeferes Hanoid, which is about 5 centimeters. And Taka, that's what they have. They have a connecting hole from your Boyar Tevila to the top part of the Boyar Shoka continuously, permanently. That remains open. Now that you have your remains open to your Boyar Shoka, now you've got the Shittas Arayvat, that even if the Arayvat held that Nosan Sar and Notan Sar, meaning you're limited and this didn't work, you're still able to connect it to your Boyar Shoka. So this Chumrah of the Arayvat, you could be Yotza by connecting to your Boyar Shoka. What's the problem now? That your top part of your Boyar Shoka is going to intermingle with your Boyar Tevila. For that, you've connected the top part of the Boyar Shoka to the connectors via a tiny hole. Shulchan Aruch says that for Daraisa you have to have Shefeferes Hanoid, but for the Rabbonons and for other Chumras, it's enough to have a Mashahu. Inevitably, there's always a Mashahu going from the top one to the bottom, the way they build it, because the rope there's gaps in between the rope and the plank. Therefore, you've always got a Mashahu of a hole between the top part of the Boyar Shoka and the lower part of the Boyar Shoka. V'lochein, Zot L'Mechus Yisrael, the bottom one continuously revives the top Boyar Shoka and continuously gives it koyach, and there's no intermingling between the top and bottom. Still, he still insists in changing the top part of the Boyar Shoka every 3 months and the bottom part of the Boyar Shoka every 3 years. There's a system that he created that the chances, whatever way you look at it, whether physics, halacha, bila or not bila, there's limits. And it comes along, there's limits, it's very mistaba that when you have a bori at the bottom of your Boyar Shoka with a little mashahu of a hole going to the top, but with limits, and that would save the top one, you've constantly got a connection to the top one, then you connected it to the main one. This was his kuntz. Again, you could say it's not major because your starting point is only a chumrah. And in Preshburg and Chasm Sefer Noiz Mihuda Chasm Nish, no one ever dreamt of having a Boyar Shoka. They all had is two Boyars, one Boyar Zeriah and one Boyar Mikvah, and that's all they had. And they weren't Choshev Shittas Arayvat. Comes along Tofrish Samach, is when 125 years ago, they decided, let's try and get the Arayvat. Chasm Nish Bechol Tokif at the time, he was completely opposed to this Boyar Shoka. He said, you're going to put too much trust in the Shoka, and that's not going to work. And he started making calculations when he got up and down, how much it goes higher. You have to see the Chazanish in Likutim. It's amazing, Chazanish, how he works out, how you have changes in physics, how he works out how many times a person goes up and down, kefi how much it goes up. It's incredible to work out his Cheshbonus. And Avram Chaim Lanz, Cholik on it, it's a real story. At the end of the day is, where possible, the Mechas Yitzchak himself took great interest in this, and he went mitzchilav atzav, he writes this in his Tshuva, how proud he is, and he went into this, and when he went to Eretz Yisrael, Rabosha Weston told me that he went to Rabosha, that Mechas Yitzchak approached Rabosha and asked him to take it over, and Rabosha was also very proud to take it over, and he continued this, and that's how, Baruch Hashem, this is where we are, and since then, it sounds like in America, I've been told in America, it's been very popular, this way of doing it. Again, when it comes to inin of mikveh, there is a Rav Moshe Feinstein that says that if there's no funds in for a mikveh, he says that you can sell a shul, you can sell Sifrei Torah in order to build a mikveh. Now, obviously, if there is already a functional mikveh, it just needs updating, it's not necessarily the same. But you also have to think to Cheshbonos that in our society we're making new shuls, so perhaps maybe the new shuls, there's all different ways of looking at it. You can't take the dry halacha itself. He was talking about the case where there's no mikveh, so he says, sell your shul, sell Sifrei Torah in order to have a mikveh. So obviously that's the case of the Igros Moshe. He also doesn't find it so necessary to find rayas. He says, Posha, just sell your shul and sell Sifrei Torah. He doesn't find it much of a need to go into all the nitty-gritty. He just starts off as tshuva, Posha, bavada, you need to do that. So it's interesting how Ramosha viewed this nekuda. If I may, just want to finish off. I don't want to go too much into detail, but this is an opportunity. I think it's a once in our lifetime opportunity that over here you have to realize that Baruch Hashem, the Majlis of Basin, have been from the Kashrus department, have been pounding in over 50,000 pounds. Lastly, I think it was over 60,000 pounds. 60,000 pounds from the Kashrus division to keep it going for the ongoing costs. And this has been going on for years, a decade. So maybe not 50 all those years ago, but certainly in the past 5 years, it's been over 50,000 pounds a year coming from the Kashrus department. So on the regular upkeep of the mikveh, that's got good funding. But when it comes to such a matter, this is to make a Shein Azach, a Shein Melitzeferes, that's a different story. And that's oh, so they want to renovate. They want to renovate the mikveh. So that's what it's there for. What's this? Oh yeah. So we'll have to discuss all that. And obviously, since the beginning of the campaign, we'll be hearing all sorts of stories, personal stories, various different stories, which I wouldn't want to say over. And I just met someone actually in Eretz Yisrael 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whenever I was there. And she just came off the bus. She just came off the bus from Kiryat Sefer. And they're a couple in their 90s. They turned 90 years ago. And they're involved in mikveh. There's interesting things that I've been picking up along the way of special nekudos of mikveh. And it's something which is certainly something which we want to get involved in. Turning on to a different point, if I may. We've got next week, we've got Purim coming up. And we've got Purim, which is on a Friday. And the Shaila is when to start the Purim Suda, given that you have Purim Suda is going to be is Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you got the Purim Suda. The Ramo says, L'chatchila, to have it before Chatzos. The Pashas Ramo is L'chatchila, to have the whole meal before Chatzos. I don't know how many people can do this. It's quite difficult. Or to have part of the meal before Chatzos is quite tricky. Mishabrua adds on, Ein Yad Ephraim. The Yad Ephraim says, you've got up till Shoah Siris. So even if people will struggle, people are running around and not necessarily catching nets, and they've got a lot of errands to do, then the Maisa Mishabura brings the other frame that allows up till Shah Sirius. But the evidence, even after Shah Sirius, the Chor is okay. The question some people have asked, not so popular here, I've heard in America it might be more popular, that they want to combine both meals. They want to start the meal at 5 o'clock, they want to start at 4:30, start the meal as a Purim Suda, the first course, and maybe by the second course, they'll bring Kiddush, and they'll make Kiddush, and they'll bring Chalas, they'll cut into the Chala. You have to be, listen, it's not Lachat Chala, but if you do it, if it gets done, you need to be a bit of a Talmud Chacham. You need to go through quite a few Se'ifim. Number one, there's 8 points, but I'm not going to bore you with them. The main Nekudas is that the Bo'ei Pri HaGofen, don't forget, if you've drunk anything beforehand, before Shabbos came in, right, don't forget, typically you would, if you, it's very common to have a bit of a drink during the meal, so there's an Indian to have yayin. Just agav, I don't think anyone's mekayim chayv v'nish levesuma, because either you get properly drunk, which is not so common, or you do the ramah, yosim limudoy, but the ramah as you have to actually sleep, and no one does that. So when I mention this to Diane Krauss Senior, he says, yeah, obviously he has wine in the morning, he has a sud in the morning, wine, and then he sleeps afterwards and mekayim the ramah as I state ramah. But for the many who don't manage to have a rest after drinking, the choreah, they're not mekayme, either you get hammered or you go to sleep. So either, just to have a little drink in the Purim Suda, I don't think you mekayme the mechav. Okay, the Eli Rabbah says it's a mitzvah, but almost not a chiyuv. There's different ways of getting around that chiyuv, but the ma'isa, yeah, you just have to get real of our state. Shukhano state, chavirish levesuma ad liyoda, literally. And it means literally. Rashi says levesuma, right? Then you've got the Ramah says, yesha oimim nochoin, the achronim says it's better to mekayme the Ramah. The Ramah says it's better to actually have a little bit of yosim limudai. It's better to have just a little bit, but then go to sleep. What's plan going to sleep? Then when a person is sleeping, he will not know ben or motcha, ben or haman the baruch motcha. He won't know the difference. That's how the Ramah achieves it. It's not so clear you'll achieve it just by having a little cup of wine. So that's just agav. So either way, let's say you've had wine during the Purim Seder, and it comes to making Kiddush, let's say it comes to the time of making Kiddush, it comes to Zman Hadlaka Shabbos, and you make Kiddush. When you make Kiddush, you start by Echulu, you miss out the Brocha Bar Pi HaGofen. Why? Because you've already made the Bar Pi HaGofen. So you have to be aware of that. Then it comes to, you take the two Chalas, Purim Shmap and Mekadosh means that you take the two Chalas, but you don't make Hamotzi. Why? Because it's a Machloikas, whether your Kiddush that you made is mafsik the suda at kidei kach, that you should now have to wash your hands and make alan and a sizdaim and another amotzi. Zot the mishabros suffer brachos laukos. Zot the mogen arom. Better not put yourself into such a shaila. Okay, the maisa, if there's a real toch, you can't fault someone for doing that. That's what he wanted to do then. But you have to take all these things into account. Zicha, far from being lechatchila all this, you'll see you'll run into problems. What do you say about benching? Just think about benching. You bench when it comes to nacht. What do you do? Retzei or alanism? Don't forget, if you don't say alanism, the taz holds you're not being mekayim your mitzvah. Not kind of benching, I suppose. The taz held that if a person washes during Purim Seder and he forgets the Alanism, you repeat the whole benching. Now, the Mishabura brings the Mogul Avram, says, Nishna Zoysef, therefore, Savi Brachos Lahokul, but it's also a Chosh Vedach Alanism. Mashenkin, if you're already eaten after Nacht, you'd have to say Ritzei. Mishabura says, Shtei Mefurish, and Tofri Sadihei. You say only Ritzei and not Alanism. It can get very messy, and someone told me that afterwards, I asked them, where did Dabba Ma'ariv? This happened 4 years ago, Tavshin Pei Aleph. And Davon Marav afterwards at home. What happened to Me'en Sheva? Yeah, we said Me'en Sheva. Not knowing that when you have a minion outside, no Sefer Torah, no Me'en Sheva. Okay, that a lot of people are aware of. If they make a minion in the house, you don't make... There's a lot of things, again, whenever a person is in his routine, then things usually don't go wrong. But if it's out of routine, you never know. Chilul Shabbos for sure, Hadlokas Neiros, all these things. Therefore, it seems that the best is to split the two and have one meal before, give a 2 hours break or something to prepare for Shabbos, and then go into Shabbos. Kadas v'kadesh. Go.
Oh, yeah.